I hope so.
Did Sam talk to you about the gift that we're giving you?
No.
He didn't mention. Well, he told me he's either going to have a cashier's check or they'll put it in your account.
Oh, well, bless your heart. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good to be here. I enjoyed the sermon very much. So, when do we start? Do I'm still waiting on people, or somebody going to start?
I say go to it.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I need my security cup. We are Robert and Jean Smith. Many of you know us. But for those that don't, we are with Mission to the World. We've been serving in Riga, Latvia since 2011. We have a table set up in the other room that has some interesting things on it, something the kids might find interesting. We have some amber back there, petrified pine resin that comes from the Baltic Sea, and one of them has a bug in it. Anybody seen Jurassic Park? Oh, bug juice, bad stuff. Actually, we had one that had a real bug in it, and it grew legs and walked away, and they're very expensive. So what we have back there is rosin with a real bug in it. So a bug gave up its life for our display. Riga is in Europe. You can see it right here. This whole area is about the size of the state of Georgia, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. So we are roughly one-third the size of the state of Georgia. Riga proper is on the Daugava River. It's hard to see on this map, but there's a river that runs through Latvia into Belarus, through corner of Russia, and down into Ukraine. A long time ago, the Vikings, everybody knows the Vikings as raiders. Well, they were also great traders. And they would take their longboats up the Daugava River. They'd come through Riga, go up the river, and that was the way that they got into Turkey. They could go up the river. They had a small portage that was in what's now Ukraine. And then they could get onto another river and make their way down to Turkey, and they would do trading in the Middle East. As I said, Riga is on the river. This is the old part of Riga on the left. We live across the river, Par Daugava. Par meaning over, and Daugava is the river. Par Daugava is the region that we lived in of Riga. Riga's a city of about just under 2 million people, and just under a million people. It's not very big. And on our side of the river, there's about 250 to 300,000 people and maybe six churches for all those people. Most of those are not attended well. There's a Methodist church that's nearly closed. They have four or five members. And we were part of churches that were meeting on one side of the river and decided to move to the other side of the river eventually. This is the House of Blackheads. It was a port city. So when the ship's captains would arrive in their sailing ships, this was the ship captain's guild. Was built in the 1600s, damaged during World War II, and was rebuilt in 1990-something. They became a free country in 1991. Riga is known as the Paris of the North. They have more Art Nouveau buildings than any country in the world. Partly because many Art Nouveau countries were destroyed during World War II. Latvia didn't get quite as much bombing. But it's very outrageous, and you have just all kinds of people. You can walk down the street that this building is on, and you can see three or four different types of architecture if you're into architecture. We have Art Nouveau, Art Deco, and Art something else. Latvia is famous for their song and dance festival. Every 4 years, they will have a song and dance festival. It was actually, this last one was 5 years because of COVID. But Latvians will get together. They love to sing and they love to dance. You can see they're wearing cultural clothes from various regions of Latvia. And this past year, we went to the Song and Dance Festival. There was a choir of about 23,000 people. And then there was about another 13,000 dancers that were there. People of all different parts of Riga. Each little village has their own style of clothing. My wife is dressed something similar to what these ladies are. The vest that I am wearing was handmade. It looks like the vests that they would wear. And if you're interested, the buttons are made of coins from what Latvia used to use for their currency. They built a stadium for this just for the Song and Dance Festival. People come from all over the world to watch it. You had to have something big enough to hold 40,000 participants plus all the spectators. We have four main seasons in Latvia, and winter is one of them. We have a lot of winter there, and it gets very cold. In this picture, we are standing roughly 200 meters or 200 yards from the beach out on the water. The Gulf of Riga is frozen. And that's proof that missionaries can walk on water. Behind us is more ice, and there is a mound back there where the tides, as they come in and out, they cause the ice to break up and build up. We took a hike with our youth kids and went out there, and they're right on the edge of the ice right there. Over that little hump, there's wet water, not frozen water. The water does freeze. This is a pond behind our house that, as you can tell, they clear it off in the wintertime and play ice hockey. I've seen snow on this particular pond that was about 4 feet deep, and they had shoveled a maze out there, and people would go ice skating through the maze for fun. They do that for fun up there. Latvia is pretty flat, so any elevation, the kids will find something to do with it, and in this case, they're sledding. We also have beautiful springs. The Latvians love flowers. I don't know if any of you have lived up north, but I found this when I lived in Alaska to be very similar. When spring comes, it explodes. And you have flowers and flowers and flowers. We have beautiful green summers and golden autumns. This is Gene and I with Martinch and Onda Martinsoni, and they are national partners. Everything that we did was with this family. About 9 years ago, Martinch came here and spoke. And they're the ones that came to us and said, we have a vision to plant a church over there. And we prayed about it. We talked to the pastor of the church we were in. He was the youth pastor. And we started as a Bible study. This is the birthing of Reformatu Pardaugava Draudze. There were 8 Latvians and Gene and I and some children. We started as a Bible study. We attended the other church on Sunday, but once a week we met as a Bible study. We studied God's Word, and as we grew, and we did grow pretty rapidly, we decided in January, this was in September, in January we started meeting once a month as a church, and then by the first of the summer we started meeting every Sunday as a church. This was a picture taken about 3 years ago, and this is the Pardaugava Church. We refer to it as RPD, and we have lots of children, which is unusual for Latvia, where the average family is 1.2 children. We have families with 4. But this is Reformatu Pardaugava Draudze. And we grew by new believers. This is a young girl that came through our youth group, became a believer. She came because her boyfriend was in the youth group. She became a believer, and about a year after this baptism, they got married. We have other weddings that have taken place. That's another way that we grow. We also grow with children. Just before COVID, this young man, Andis, and his wife Madara approached me, much like Martin Chinanda did, and said, we'd like to plant another Reformed church. Now, Andis had been working as an associate pastor, and he'd gone through seminary, he had been ordained, and they had a heart's desire to plant another church. And we were thinking outside of Riga, in another town, and we began praying. And we would meet a couple times a week, and we would look at a map. We would talk about where we knew people, where we thought it would work out, and then COVID hit. And COVID shut us down pretty good. So all those plans got put on hold. First year into COVID, A man by the name of Malcolm, who was from the UK, came to us. He had planted or had started an international church in Riga. And he and his wife were going to retire and go home, and they wanted us to take over the church. It was a Reformed Baptist church. They knew that we had some differences of doctrine, but for the most part, they were Reformed. And we prayed about it, and Andis agreed to be the pastor of Grace International Church if Gene and I would go with he and Madara there. Fortunately and providentially, Grace Church met at noon. None of the churches have their own buildings. Grace Church met at noon. And the RPD met at 4 in the afternoon. So for the last 5 years, we've been serving 2 churches. I've been acting as an elder in both churches. We participate in both church services. and I meet with the elders of both churches, one on Monday and one on Tuesday. And this is some of the internationals in a Bible study that we were having. Had a dinner with different internationals, whole different group of people, but they're all part of the church. And we have people from Vietnam, from China, from India, from Africa, from other parts of Europe, from Australia, and it is extremely international. We have a guy from Afghanistan. You'll see him in a little bit. In November, we left. I will turn 70 in February, and we thought it was time to retire. And the churches wanted to have a send-off for us, so those that could from all four churches gathered, and they met with us. There was a lot of crying. There was praying. We had a church service with a sermon and songs. And then the elders of all four churches came up and prayed for Gene and I and sent us on our way. We are going to retire the end of February, and but we're staying active in Latvia. I will get into a little bit of that in just a minute. My wife, we're going to do a tag team, and she's going to do some talking now and tell a little bit about this summer. You can just hold it.
Okay. I'm not as skilled with the technology as Robert. I haven't had as much experience, but hopefully this will be interesting and inspiring. I have the opportunity to share about the summer ministry we had this past summer with five interns, who each one was a university student from America who interviewed and were approved through MTW. So they came as MTW interns, five from different parts of the states. And what we did there with the interns was similar to what we have done in the past summers there in Latvia. The summer, because of the weather, is an opportune time for ministry. The daylight hours are very long, and ministry goes on about 20 hours a day in the summer. So we're very busy, but we're always thankful for the opportunities God gives us there. In addition to all the ministry that took place with the interns, Robert and I were able and desired to reconnect and visit and spend time with neighbors who we had in Latvia for about 13 years and friends. And so we took time to do that while we were there. This lady, Audia is her name, she is one of the ladies who lived in the building, the apartment building we lived in. We also attended college graduations and music recitals. This young lady, her name is Jyotsna, was part of a Bible study, and she also came to church with us some in Latvia, in Riga. And we were the only family. She had friends, family, who attended her college graduation. Because she lived in India so far away, her family was not able to attend. We also had the opportunity to, while we were in Latvia all these years, we continued to study and try and increase our Latvian language skills. And so while we were there this summer, we attended class, and we hosted this gathering of our Latvian language class. Most of the students are international. Some are were Latvian, but they've come back to live in Latvia. We also assisted with children's Sunday school, And we also help lead singing at the International Church a few Sundays. We also hosted a curry night for internationals. Many of the internationals there are Indian students. And so Robert is the curry night chef. But they also, some of them prepared food for that event. So we enjoyed a lot of fellowship and reconnection with relationships we had already made there previous years. And so once the interns were there, and this is a picture of us, we helped the interns acclimate to life in Riga. One way was taking them on walking tours of the city, and we encouraged them to use public transportation and do some exploring on their own. One of the first events we had with the interns was a night of food and fellowship and Bible study with the Latvian youth group. The four Reformed churches have a combined youth group with a youth director. He is Latvian, and his name is Miroslavs. We were meeting here at the home of Martins and Anda, who Robert showed you a picture of, and Martins led the Bible study that night. We also had a meet and greet with the interns so they could connect and begin to build relationships with the youth. Every week on Monday, usually we met with the interns for a very intense time of discipleship and Bible study, and using a book that helped us and them learn to utilize different tools and really go deep into studying God's Word. And we also had a time of Bible study preparation for them to help facilitate and lead Bible studies with the youth. The youth of the Reformed churches was sort of the target group that the interns worked with. So in all the preparation, the five interns weekly would have a Bible study time with the high school age youth and then with the middle school age youth. And then there are usually three different camps that the Reformed churches organize and manage. And the first one is the usual time of the summer solstice, which is traditionally a pagan holiday celebration. And so the Reformed churches come together and have an opportunity to, instead of worshiping nature, we worship the Creator. And we have Bible lessons, and we call it family camp. For all ages are welcome, and the members of the Reformed churches also often invite extended family members and colleagues who are unchurched and who need to hear about Jesus and His Word. We also, with the youth, we had America's Independence Day party. The youth were also responsible for organizing social events and sport events with the youth, and so usually there were two or three of those per week. This is the youth, the interns with Miroslavs. They are on their way to youth camp. That was the second camp that we participated in with the interns this summer. At the youth camp, Bible study is the center focus, but there are also opportunities for lots of activities, indoor, outdoor, and building relationships. This is one of the girl interns. She's on the far left, spending time with some of the youth girls. And this is Will, the young man in the very front, hanging out with two of the youth guys. And then the third camp we served in was the Kids Club. It's Kids Bible Club. It's similar to what we would call Vacation Bible School. And this year, the book of the Bible we were studying with the kids was Exodus. So often, Pharaoh and Moses would be visiting us and helping with the Bible studies and the different parts of the kids' club. We had, of course, activities throughout the day. This kids' club goes from about 8:30 in the morning. The children arrive between 8:30 and 9 and is over about 5. So it's a very long day full of wonderful opportunities for the children to learn more or be introduced to God and His Word. And also, we had singing, and the last day of Kids Club was the end of the week, but on Sunday we invite them all to, and their parents and family members, to a worship service where a simple gospel message is given, and the children get to share the songs that they sang, what they learned and sang. Okay, so let's see. This is a young adult retreat that the interns had with older youth who had either graduated from high school or had already started college. We had a final dinner and debriefing time with the interns before they left to go back to their, to America, to their, where they live. And then our final opportunity to serve and reach out was an international multicultural wedding. Robert was the best man and the MC at the after party. I had the opportunity to help sing and read scripture during the wedding ceremony. I think Robert's going to elaborate on some of this couple. Okay.
So this is Masi and Annette. Masi is Afghani. Masi was, when the Taliban took over in Afghanistan, he was kidnapped by his grandfather and taken through Russia into Sweden. And so he grew up in Sweden. He calls himself Swedish, but you can look at him and tell he's not Swedish. And Annette, who is Norwegian, they're both medical students in Riga. And Masi became a believer about 4 years ago. And when it happened through some students from our church, the International Church has a lot of medical students. It was through them that he became a believer. And they came to me and they said, Masi needs somebody to disciple him. So for 3 or 4 years, I met with Masi very regularly. And he had some struggles we went through, and I discipled him, taught him how to study the Bible, taught him the importance of reading the Bible. And we had come back to the U.S., and he called me and said, Annette and I are getting married. Would you be my best man? And so I packed a tux, and when we went back, we celebrated. In 1939, the man that you see right here was 11 years old, and Aini's father was a very successful farmer, had a large farm, grew crops, sold crops, and the Soviet Union was taking over parts of Northern Europe already. And they wanted his farm as a collective. So in the middle of the night, they came, pounded on their door, and Aini's and his mother and other family members and father were taken to the train station. Aini's and his mother were put in one car, and his father was taken to another car. These were cattle cars, rough wooden cars, not even straw on the floor. A bucket in the corner was your toilet. And for 8 weeks, they made their way to Siberia. Aini's was eventually allowed to return to Latvia. He loved Latvia. He hated the Russians. He hated communism. And he was angry with God. We were introduced to them because we needed language helpers. And we asked if they would help us with the Latvian language. Now, Gita went to a Baptist church. It wasn't very big. And so she and Jean would meet, and they would read the Bible, or they would read children's Bible stories together. And the way that it worked out was that Gita would read a line, and Jean would repeat it, and then Gita would correct her. And we were not necessarily working on understanding as much as pronunciation, because they have words that it's hard for an American to wrap their tongue around. Inês, on the other hand, would have nothing to do with the Bible. So Inês and I read through The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. He loved Mark Twain. He was a well-read man. And so I bought two copies, and we would do the same thing. He would read a sentence out loud, and I would repeat it, and he would correct me, and we would laugh about the way that I mispronounced words. And if he ever got too soft on me, Gita from the kitchen, you could hear her, nay, 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 nay. And she'd come in and correct my pronunciation, and Inês and I would get a good laugh out of it. We celebrated birthdays. We celebrated holidays. We had them over to our house for dinner. They had us over to their house for dinner. We got to know them very well. Neither of them spoke English, so communicating was fun sometimes. And occasionally, Inês would say, tell me about God. He knew we were missionaries. We had told him that up front. And I would get the chance to share the gospel with him. And it would always end with Inês saying, I can't believe there's a God that would have allowed the things I've seen. And I would let it go at that. I knew that it was going to have to be God working in his heart to do something. Gita developed a pulmonary disease, pulmonary illness, and died rather suddenly. We went to the funeral and went up to Inês afterwards and told him we'd like to have him over for dinner. And he agreed. And just to make sure that there was no miscommunication, we asked an interpreter to come, somebody that was a mutual friend. And we had dinner, and we talked small talk. And after dinner, while having coffee, Inês looked at me and said, let's talk about God. And I said, Inês, we've done this 3 times. What do you want to know? And he said, tell me everything. Well, you don't have to tell a missionary that too many times. So I started at Genesis, at creation. In the beginning, God created. And I went up through the fall of man, and I pointed out to Inês that the terrible things he had seen was not because of God. It was because of man. I made my way through the Bible up to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and how Jesus paid our price for the sins that we had committed and were continuing to commit. And Inês looked at me and said, I just can't believe there's a God that would allow the things that I've seen. Now, we knew, even in this picture, we knew that Inês had melanoma. Melanoma? Lymphoma. I get all the omas mixed up. He had lymphoma, and he would go into the hospital once a year, and they would keep him for about 2 weeks, and they would do infusions of all kinds of drugs, and it was keeping it under control. But after Gita died, he stopped taking care of himself, and the lymphoma came back with a vengeance. It settled in the tissue, the soft tissue all around his eyes, and they just swole up into this big bulbous growths. He was completely blind, and the doctor sent him home to die. We found out about it, and we called and asked if we could come by and see him. His daughter and his nephew were his caretakers at this point. And I forget which one we talked to, but they said no. Ines doesn't want anybody to see him looking like this. And then a day or two later, we got a call from his daughter, and she said, Ines would like you to come over. So we showed up. It was hard to look at him. And we prayed for him in Latvian. We read scripture to him. We started off the first day with the 23rd Psalm, something we thought he would recognize. We read it in Latvian to him. And once a week we would go by and see Ines and read to him and pray for him in Latvian. And he put up with it. He didn't make any great confessions of faith. Didn't really show a whole lot of emotion. And then one day, Gene said, I wonder if we could sing some songs to him, some hymns. Hymns are, they have amazing theology if you pick the right ones. And so, again, we thought we would pick some that we thought he might know. And we went over and we asked him, can we sing to you? And he said, yeah, that'd be okay. So we sang Amazing Grace. And we sang Be Thou My Vision. His daughter was there. She was a Lutheran. She'd never heard any of these hymns. And she asked us one time, she said, can I have copies of that? And this went on for a while. Ines wanted to sing for us, and in spite of how sick he was, he had a very pleasant sounding voice. And he sang a song to us in Latvian, and afterwards his daughter kind of laughed and told us it was a song about drinking beer and meeting young women. But Ines was getting worse every day, and we continued to go by. In Latvia, when you go into a house, because of the snow and the mud and dirt, when you go into a house, you always take your shoes off, and there's normally slippers, guest slippers, that you put on, and there's a place to hang your coats. So our visits with Ines would be about 20 minutes, and he couldn't sit up any longer, and he'd have to go to bed. And we had left his room, closed the door, and we're putting our coats and our shoes on. And his nephew was there that day, and he came up, and he said, I thought you'd want to know that last night I heard Ines pray to Jesus about his eternity. Now, I wasn't quite sure what that meant, so I went to Gita's pastor, and I asked him to go talk to Ines, which he did. And I talked to him the following day, and he told me, he said, he's a believer. This man had tried and tried and tried to get Ines to convert. And Ines would always say, I can't believe that there's a God that would allow what I've seen. We went back the next week. We usually went on Thursday night. Ines was sitting up in a chair. There was a chair in front of him, straight back chair like a kitchen chair, and a chair to the side. And I always sat facing him. And Gene would sit on his left to my right. And it's a very important thing in Latvia when men meet to shake hands. And I always shook Ines' hand. And you will see sixth graders, two boys, when they'd meet on the street, they shake hands. It just is, it's all through the culture. So I came in, I greeted him, I shook his hand, and sat down. I'm knee to knee with him, and he wouldn't let go of my hand. And we started singing, Notts King Yushai Lavis. I missed a word in there. It's okay. Come thou fount of every blessing in Latvian. And while we were singing, he reached out with his left hand. I always say I won't choke up. He reached out with his left hand and he found Jean's. And he squeezed both of our hands while we sang. And when we finished, he smiled. And he said, I know I'm a child of God. His daughter told us she'd never seen somebody change like she saw her daddy change. We continued to go by. He was voracious in wanting to hear God's word. He listened to it on the radio. He had people read to him. We went and read to him. We talked to him about Jesus. After about a month, my father passed away. And we were going to have to leave to come back for the funeral. And we weren't going to get to meet with Aini. So we went the day earlier and explained the situation. And first question he asked me was your father a Christian? And I assured him he was. And we talked a little bit. We read scripture to him and we prayed with him. And when we finished and I was getting ready to leave, I was shaking his hand and he didn't let go. And he tilted his head up as if he was looking at me. And he said, Aini's was my friend. He said, when God comes for me, I won't be angry. He died to the day, one week after my father. He died in his sleep, peacefully. And he met Jesus. Now, this is a ministry of Covenant Church. If it wasn't for you people, and others like you, people around the world would not hear about Jesus. Aini's would have never heard. Now we get a lot of people that would say, you've given up so much, you're doing so much, you've left your family, you've left your home, you've given up, but we don't feel like we've given up anything. We've gained so much more. And yet, we don't feel like it's us that's doing it. I cannot pull out my Holy Ghost gun and put a notch in it and say, look what I did, because I wasn't even there. The Spirit of God moved. And so, one of the things that we like to tell people is it's not us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And what we do by grace alone. I have a short video that's supposed to play. It worked earlier. Can I get some help? Go back. It's slideshow. Well, maybe it's providential. Okay, we'll just skip that. We are retiring the end of February. We're not retiring from life. We're not retiring from ministry. We're retiring from a paycheck. As Gene said, we had 5 interns this past summer. We had 3 interns last year. And our plan is with MTW, through MTW, to go back as volunteers, not on salary, and have host interns next year and teach them how to start ministries, how to reach the world for Jesus. And so as long as we have college interns that want to go to Latvia, we will be going back. We will keep our support account open. And like my home church is going to continue to support us at 1/4 the rate so that we can be reimbursed for some of our expenses. Other churches have said, when you get ready to go, let us know. We'll do a one-time gift. But we are so grateful for Covenant. You've helped with publications of books. You've helped with publication of Sunday school material. You've helped take the gospel to the world. And we thank you. Yes. Well, thank you, but it's...
So it has been an honor.
Thank you. Any questions?
Are you going to retire in Latvia?
No, we will retire in Georgia. We have a house in Carrollton, West Georgia, and we will retire there. There's a university we hope to get involved in, international student ministry at the university, as well as get plugged back into our home church there in Carrollton.
Is the language predominantly Russian?
No. The language is Latvian. Latvian and Lithuanian are the two oldest Indo-European languages still spoken. And so it uses a Latin-based alphabet, not a Cyrillic alphabet. And now they do have some sounds that we don't make. It took me a while to learn how to say makshjedniki, which is a fisherman. So.
On our display table, there are some books that you all and other of our supporting churches helped translate and edit and distribute that were originally in English and now are in Latvian. If you want to look at some examples, one is the Jesus Storybook Bible, Knowing God by J.I. Packer, some classic Christian books, and a Latvian Bible, adult Bible.
Anybody else? At this point, no. I do hope to do some recruiting in my retirement. So if any of you guys want to go to Latvia, I can hook you up. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, you sent your Son who humbled himself and died for his flock to pay their price so that we might be able to enter into your presence and enjoy eternity with you. And many of these that are his flock have never heard about Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would keep us ever mindful that even though we don't see results immediately, you can work in people's hearts in ways that we can't. And it's up to us to be obedient and allow you to use us to share the gospel. I pray for us as we share the gospel here in Jackson, in Carrollton, in the United States, and throughout the world. And I pray that you would use what money we use, what give, what books we may have translated, what words we may say to people. And you would cause them to want to know you, want to see your face. Be with us as we go from here, and we ask that your name be glorified, not ours. Your name, unto you, O Lord, be all the praise and all the glory. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you.